我们今天要跟大家讲的题目是世亲菩萨净土论，它是属于净土法门的一个内容哈。
So today my topic is Basu Bandhu Bodhisattva on Pure Land. This belongs to the Pure Land School.
这个开示的内容是师父在1997年农禅寺的佛期，每天晚上师父在那次挑了世亲菩萨的净土论作为跟大众分享的内容。我们等会来跟大家介绍这部净土论在整个净土法门当中它是什么样子的角色。
So the content of my talk actually is based on a serious talk given by Master Shen Yan back in 1997 when Shifu gave a serious talk during the intensive 7-day chanting retreat, and every night Shifu would give a little talk on this Vasubandha Bodhisattva's discourse on Pure Land, and we will see what role this discourse played in the Pure Land.
刚刚有一开始跟大家提到，这个是师父花六次的时间，每天晚上呢就六天。每天晚上是大概一个小时左右，不过那时候是用国语和台语的翻译，所以一次大概实际上的内容是半小时左右而已，30分钟。
So 师父 spend an hour every night and for 6 consecutive nights during the retreat, but actually because it was done in both Mandarin and Taiwanese, so the actual content conveyed probably is half an hour each time.
我当初在选这个大概会花四次的时间讲完，不过我这次只会花一次，因为我在八月底我就要调回台湾了，所以说就没有留在美国。至于未来的因缘再讲，会不会来这边我不知道，不过也许我会在台湾讲，欢迎大家回台湾听。
So when I was preparing for this talk, I originally was planning to have at least four talks done on this topic. In the courses and conditions made so that I actually have to finish this in one talk, because I will be transferred to Taiwan by the end of August. But I may still give a series of talks on this topic in Taiwan, so you're all welcome to go to Taiwan to attend my talks.
好，首先我们刚刚提到这部论就是世亲菩萨净土论，有些地方把它叫往生论，世亲菩萨往生论。这部论呢在净土中的地位呢，我们在净土中有划分所谓三经一论，三部经典和一部论，有些会说五经一论，五部经和一部论。三经一论和五经一论呢是从三经一论为主要再发展出后面两部经典加进去的，可是后面两部它原则上是从有两部大部的经典从里面抽出其中一章或是一品出来成为一经，所以实际上它在传统净土中的分法还是以三经一论为主要的分法，那我们等一下会来跟大家 介绍。
So, today the treatise we're going to talk about is called the Vasubandha's Discourse on the Pure Land, also known as the Treatise on Rebirths in the Pure Land. As you may know, the Pure Land School actually consists of three sutras, three main sutras, and one treaty. That is one way to categorize it. The other way is later people add two more classics. So in total, there's five sutras and five sutras, one treaty. But the main school still uses three sutras and one treaty because the latter two sutras was just adopted one chapter of that sutra to add it to the Pure Land schools.
好，首先第一部经典是无量寿经，第二部经典是观无量寿经，第三部经典是阿弥陀经。这三部经典都是我们很熟悉的，特别是阿弥陀经，我们有些人在做定课，就是每天我们自己早晚如果有排一些功课诵经的话，很多人会把阿弥陀经列为我们课诵内容。像我们在法鼓山晚课就会诵阿弥陀经，这是不管哪个道场那间寺院都会把它列为我们的一门功课之一。阿弥陀经这部经典我们很熟悉，它主要是讲着修净土法门三个很重要的要具备的条件，就是信、愿、行。信就是我们要相信，那这部经典是佛陀不请自说向舍利弗尊者说的，很特别。在所有经典当中都是有某位大菩萨或是某位佛陀的大弟子或是大尊者们向佛陀请法，之后佛陀会依这位弟子的请法的问题来开眼开示，让我们就是这些弟子，佛陀的这些诸大菩萨弟子们还有罗汉乃至于天人或是我们一般凡夫，以法华经讲法叫做开示悟入，就是开眼演说，然后指引我们怎么进入修行的契机，最后我们能够跟佛陀一样悟入佛陀所体悟到的这种无妙甚深的这个佛法。所以阿弥陀佛阿弥陀经这部经典呢，它主要是告诉我们往生西方极乐世界三个很重要的条件，信、愿、行。当然里面呢有介绍整个阿弥陀佛的极乐世界是怎么样子，因为要让我们生信心，首先是提出极乐世界就是依照佛陀的依正和的依正庄严，让我们知道整个阿弥陀佛是怎样的世界，也使我们能够发起向往的心，愿意去。好，第一个是发愿，我们愿意去。那再来告诉我们正确的修行方法。那正确修行方法有分正行和助行，正行是以一心称念阿弥陀佛名号，所以在里头告诉我们一心称念佛号的重要性。这个是主要阿弥陀经的内容。
So, the three classic sutras, in the Pure Land School are, Immeasurable Life Sutra, the Sutra of Visualizing or Contemplating the Buddha of Infinite Light and Life. And the last one is, Amitabha Sutra. And among the three, people are very familiar with the last one, Amitabha Sutra, because it is often, the most recited and as part of daily practice, morning or night practice in many temples. And so the Amitabha Sutra, we are all very familiar with, which emphasize the three main conditions to be reborn in the Pure Land, which is faith, vows, and practice. First of all, we need to generate great faith, because Amitabha Sutra actually is a sutra that Buddha expounded himself without being requested. So the Shikhamoni Buddha lectured or expounded on expounded Amitabha Sutra to Shariputra, and in the Lotus Sutra it mentioned that the Buddha expounded on the sutra himself and encouraged people to generate vows. And in the sutra it describes what the Western Pure Land looks like, how magnificent and glorious virtues the land manifests, and encourage people to generate vows in the face to go and be reborn in there. And the second, it discussed going to details on how to get there. Basically, you need to get there by chanting Amitabha Buddha's names and also practice other ancillary practices.
第二部经典是《无量寿经》，阿弥陀佛的意思啊，就是告诉我们无量寿、无量光，也是这尊佛名它的意思是什么？它是在无量劫以来，这尊佛成佛之后，他希望带给这个世间，我们这一生的人的生命是有限的，可是。每尊佛他们在发愿住世，有所谓正法相法住世，他们住世时间是无量非常久的，所以第一个是希望佛法住世的时间非常久，那佛法它能够指引我们去烦恼，那因此它里头的含义就是无量寿无量光的这个意思在里头。那主要这部经典介绍的呢是西方极乐世界怎么来的，还有阿弥陀佛他在过去因地修行的时候他怎样修行，以及他成佛了以后他发愿希望建立一个怎样的世界，而且要接引我们都愿意去，所以他总共发了48愿。他这个发愿呢，在我们刚刚提到《阿弥陀经》，它主要就讲信、愿、行的部分。很重要的，我们在怎么发愿呢？就是学习阿弥陀佛这48个愿，作为我们的一个准则依准。啊，这个准则依准呢，其实是在提醒着我们的日常生活，也要依照这48愿去学习。所以等会跟大家稍微简单介绍所谓净土法门的修行。净土法门的修行一般人会误会只是专心，或许会讲说是专心的一心称念阿弥陀佛，那但是人会把它误解了，会误解呢是对于经文的不了解，我们来跟大家做介绍。所以主要无量寿经他主要的介绍是阿弥陀佛他在因地修行的时候，就是过去是修行的时候，他发了48愿，要建立起一个清净的国土，也让我们随着他所发的愿共同修行，发起一种向往的心，能够到极乐世界去，这是第一个。第二个是在往生西方极乐世界呢，它总共分成9个次第， 这九个次第呢，并不是要划分所谓的高或低，而是鼓励我们，鼓励我们。或许我们平常可能不会做一些什么比较不好的事情，例如杀人放火这种比较重大的，可能跟我们现在法律当中有所相违背的事情哦。那可能这些造了罪恶的人，他可能是身最下一品，但是他慢慢的会鼓励我们，也可以在做哪一些事情去做一些善行，可能修十善啊，或是持五戒，乃至于发心出家，可以升到最上品。所以他是鼓励着我们，鼓励着我们，我们尽我们的能力能够做到怎样是最好的一个状况啊。或许我们现在可能诸位菩萨们可能没有因缘出家，可能没有因缘出家，可是我们有哪一些是我们能够在我们现在这个身份，就我们现在所处的这个身份能够尽力去做到的。所谓尽力做到呢，是跟我们身旁的人共同分享的，共同分享的。第一个，我们可能尽力不去做，做到伤害别人的事情啊，除了不伤害别人之外，我们自己在追求我们自己本身利益的时候，我们也跟着去和别人分享，那就是利他的部分，利他的部分。然后他希望鼓励着我们，虽然划分了所谓的九品，可是它是一种修行的次第，也就是我们在我们现在的身份能够尽量往上的去做到好的部分。
So the second sutra is the immeasurable life sutra or infinite life sutra. Here, the name of Amitabha means infinite life and infinite light. So this has a meaning that we wish that Buddhism will abide in the world infinitely, and the lifespan of Amitabha Buddha is infinite. So this sutra introduces the former life of Amitabha Buddha and at the causation ground, what type of vows he made that made him became a Buddha, that he made 48 great vows. And that's a great example to show us how we should generate vows. We practice based on the faith, vows, and conduct. And in daily life, we should be mindful of the Amitabha Buddha's 48 great vows and practice that in daily life. So many people, when they talk about Pure Land School, they may have some misunderstandings about how to practice it. One simple method of Pure Land School is, of course, to recite Amitabha Buddha's name single-mindedly. But there are more to that. For example, there are different levels mentioned in the sutra. First is how to generate vows at the causation ground. And second is there are 9 categories of 3 grades, different levels of achievements. And this is not a judgmental categorization. It is rather a gradual practice, a gradual level of practice to encourage people to do more good deeds, to generate merits, so you can move from the lowest category gradually up to the highest, higher level, higher categories. Of course, we don't have the, not everyone can become monastics this lifetime, but we can try our best not to harm others and to share good things with others in summary, is just to benefit others as much as we can.
好，在第三部经典是《观无量寿经》。《观无量寿经》是佛陀向 韦提希夫人，他是阿瑟士王，在印度曾经一个王朝，波陀时代一个王朝，那那时候是阿瑟士王，他听了他的一些不好的朋友诱惑，受到了他们的诱惑，把他的父亲关起来，那他的母亲为了要把他救出来，就是把他的先生救出来，所以在他身上涂了石蜜，就涂了蜜进去，让这个国家本的国王能够继续活下来，因为他阿瑟士王本来把他父亲活活的饿死，所以当时皇后就韦提希夫人想到这个方法。过一阵子，阿瑟士王就觉得很奇怪，为什么关这么久还饿不死？饿不死他的父亲，才知道他母亲韦提希夫人用这种方法，所以他也把他的母亲关起来。因为韦提希夫人他本身就有学佛，所以他当遇到这样的状况的时候，他就其实心中也是有些抱怨。这时候呢，佛陀就现身向他说法，就提到修净土法门的这个方法。在里面呢，佛陀就有讲到我们修行的时候呢，有三个方法。那这三个方法呢，我们把它一般把它称为叫做三福业，三种。它的福呢是带给我们一种有利益的哈，三福的方法。那这三个方法呢，我们把它一般把它分成三个，一种是一般世间的福德，一般的世间福德。第一个是第一个告诉我们要孝养父母，就是要孝顺我们的父母，再来侍奉师长，是第一个是我们的父母，第二个是我们学习的对象，学习对象。在古代印度主要学习的对象是向出家众，就向沙门学习佛法，然后慈心不杀，慈心不杀就是具有慈悲心，不伤害其他的众生。修十善业，也是我们身与意三业在十个项目上面的修行，这是属于世间的部分。第二个是属于戒福，就是跟戒律上面的修持，就是戒律上的修持，它告诉我们要受持三规，具足众戒，主要就是三规五戒的部分。除了这个众戒，除了五戒之外呢，只要是一切在我们一般讲戒律里头，有所谓止持和坐持，就是哪些是该做我们没有做到，哪些是那我们就应该去做，哪些是不应该做那我们就不去做。那这些可能或许它没有归在五戒里头，可是跟当地的法令或是民族风情有相违背的，我们不应该做的，那我们就不去做。那有哪一些是我们可以做到的？像修十善业部分其实它也是属于在众戒这里头的部分。这个众是很多种类的意思就具足众戒，不犯威仪。那所以不犯威仪呢，是我们保持我们平常一般我们所谓讲的威仪呢，主要我们会分成四个部分，就是行住坐卧，让我们自己时时刻刻我们的这个身业的部分，它是保持在一种让人能够升起恭敬心，也是一个修学佛法的人他所散发出来的，他所散发出来这种言行举止，可以令人感到欢喜，令人感到欢喜。 啊，这是范围主要的意思，这是属于戒辅的部分。最后是行辅的部分，行辅的部分呢是我们要去做的部分，就是我们把它落实在我们的生活当中，而且这个所谓行呢，不只是我们自己本身，还是跟其他人有关系的。所以行辅部分很重要，就是要发菩提心，深信因果，也就是我们要有正确的观念。修学佛法很重要的就是正知见，要先建立起来，了解正确的因果关系。再是读诵大圣，读诵大圣就是读诵经典，我们透过经典当中他所告诉我们的这些佛法的义理。那一个很重要的就是前面所讲的，要怎么样子发菩提心，深信因果，就是借由读诵大乘经典，在经典当中会告诉我们正确的佛法之见，正确佛法之见，导正我们过去错误的一些想法。这些错误想法就是造成我们贪嗔痴三毒的来源，贪嗔痴三毒来源。那最后呢，除了我们自己本身修行之外，我们既然读了这么多经典，那怎么运用呢？就是劝进行者，劝进行者，也就是我们要发起，前面讲要发菩提心嘛，怎么发菩提心呢？同样的，我们把我们所修学到的佛法跟其他人分享，跟其他人的去分享啊，在这种跟人在分享过程当中呢，就是在建立所谓人间净土，在建立所谓人间净土，也就是法鼓山一直在推行所谓提升人的品质，建设人间净土，就是从这当中去落实啊，去实践在我们这个人间它能够完成起来。所以极乐世界的佛国净土，它是在我们往生之后发愿去的。可是我们这个人世间，就是我们可能短短的，可能只有50年、60年，乃至于现在人的寿命到70或80年，这样短短的几十年的时间，我们难道就对于我们的这个世间不管，只需要自己关起门来修行吗？这是不正确的观念，不正确观念。所以我们刚有提到，在净土法门里头有所谓一生称念，或者是临命终时称念十声阿弥陀佛名号就能够往生，这会造成一些错误的做法。那我们等一下跟大家介绍，先翻译。
And the last sutra of the Pure Land school is called the Sutra of Contemplating Buddha of Infinite Life and Light. This sutra began with a story that where a prince named Ashley was influenced by his bad friend, a villain, and then wanted to murder his father, the king, in order to ascend to the throne. So the prince put his father in prison, and his mother, Queen Widoli, want to rescue the king, so she put honey around all over her body and went to visit the king in prison, so the king could have some food and prevent him from starvation. And after a while, the prince realized his father was not dead yet, so he discovered that his mother actually was helping the king. So he got angry and put his mother, King Widoli, into prison as well. And because the queen at that time was already practicing Buddhism, and so she made a prayer to Shakyamuni Buddha for help, and the Buddha appeared, and the queen wants to be born in Pure Land, and the Shakyamuni Buddha taught her the method of how to be reborn in the Pure Land. So the sutra started with this story, and the Buddha goes on to describe the Amitabha Buddha's Pure Land and how one could obtain rebirth in his land, mainly through three methods. And the three methods is called cultivating three benefits or three blessings. The first is blessings from the conventional world. And you need to cultivate blessings through pay filial tributes to your parents, to respect your teachers, and generate compassion and not to kill, and practice 10 good deeds. This is the first category, first conventional blessings cultivation. And the second category is blessings from, or blessings or benefits from cultivation by observing precepts, mainly the five precepts, but also observing cultural rules at that time and local laws, and also follow and be mindful the way a practitioner should carry out oneself to let others to give rise to a respectful attitude. And last category is blessings cultivated by conduct, including generating bodhi mind, and having great faith in cause and consequences. This refers to establish right views. And how can one establish right views? One should try to read and study Mahayana scriptures, because in the sutras and Mahayana scriptures, it will teach you and expound on what right views are and what three poisons are. And last, practitioners need to carry out all his knowledge and engage in practice by sharing Dhamma with others. Just like Dhammajong Mountain always has this slogan saying, we need to uplift human character and build pure land on earth. Because some people may have the misunderstanding that practicing pure land method just means when your life about to end, you will recite 10 times of Amitabha Buddha's names, and then you will be reborn in his pure land. That's actually is a misunderstanding, and I will talk more about that later.
另外，在《观无量寿经》里头，还有很重要的就是十六观。所谓十六观，就是观想极乐世界是怎么样子的一个世界。为什么要做十六观呢？这是净土法门其实另外一个很重要的修行方法，就是观察。一般我们会忽略掉这个方法，会忽略掉这个方法，演变成我们现在认为净土法门就是只是称念阿弥陀佛名号，还有就是我们刚提到会有一些错误的认为。在经典当中告诉我们只需要往生前称念阿弥陀佛名号，阿弥陀佛就会来，这有可能吗？经典虽然当中这样告诉我们，可是我们想想看哦，我们如果平常什么都不做啊，想说反正经典当中告诉我，我只需要在往生前一心称念十声佛号就好，一心称念十佛号就好，阿弥陀佛就会带着观世音菩萨和大势至菩萨以及诸佛国土的这些诸善善人来接引我到，而且带着什么紫金做的莲花来接引我，莲台来接引我到西方极乐世界，大家觉得有可能吗？它是不可能的齁。所以我们刚刚提到在无量寿经有所谓的九品往生，九品往生的九个次第，如果我们是抱持这样的心态去的话，在最下品的往生呢， 他去到极乐世界的时候是怎么样呢？他会泡在莲池里面，而且泡非常久。我们所谓讲花开见佛嘛，可能以我们这个世界的讲法，可能有人是住豪宅，可能住在曼哈顿第五大道旁边豪宅，那他可以看到中央公园很漂亮的景色。那他可能就像极乐世界我们所讲的，有七重行树、七重这些罗网啊，乃至于有很多这种鸟，它会发出宣流法音哈。那有七，有莲池，里面有八功德水哈。有这些种种的，可能以我们在纽约来看的话，它可能就像中央公园这样子很漂亮。上品上圣人他可能就住旁边的。可如果我们不用功的话，我们可能去之后呢，见不到阿弥陀佛，会先泡在莲池泡很久。那泡在里面呢，会不会开花都还不知道。好，所以这是第一个错误的观念。第二个呢，是一样也是在这些经典当中告诉我们，有一些他造了忤逆十罪的人，忤逆十罪的人啊，有些经典是说这些人他是佛陀他是不救这些人的，可是在涅槃经里头最后是说佛陀会救这些人因此有些造了这种种种罪的人就说，那我平常什么事都可以做都没关系，他不怕，为什么呢？因为他临命终时只要称念佛号，即使造了重罪的人一样还有地方可以去，他说不怕，我不会下地狱，因为阿弥陀佛很慈悲，会来救度我。好，所以可能有些人就会用这种错误的观念，虽然我们不至于会这样做，可是它会变成一种借口。什么借口呢？平常找一些反正我只要临命终时称念就好，所以他平常就会不精进，就会有懈怠心，想说明天再来念好了，后天再来念好了，现在我很忙，可能要做别的事情。这第一个。第二是犯了一些小错，他觉得没关系，我只要临命终时发愿，阿弥陀佛很慈悲的会带我去。我们中国曾有讲，有讲平常怎样勿以恶小而为之，那勿以善小而不为哈。这是中国成语也告诉我们，平常呢，我们如果慢慢的累积资粮，那聚沙久了之后，它也能够成一座塔出来哈。或许这个塔它不漂亮，不漂亮，可是它所告诉我们是，我们发心修行是要保持一个恒常心。所谓精进就是恒常的修行，它就像细水慢流。我们并不一定要如诸佛菩萨发这么样子大的誓愿，像地藏菩萨他是要救度一切地狱众生才成佛，可是我们最刚讲哪边呢？他其实的重点是要提醒我们，这次太小声了。好，他提醒着我们呢，平常呢是要以诸佛菩萨做我们的榜样，做我们榜样。我们不要轻忽自己，不要轻视自己。我的力量有限，我的力量有限，好像不能发挥什么作用。如果每个人都这样想的时候，我们人间净土它就不可能建立起来哈。所以，我们第一个就是把佛陀不要当作我们榜样，不要认为是遥不可及的一个部分。第二个是正确的，就是净土中的修行念佛法门的行者们，应该是要建立出一个什么样子正确的心态。好， 这是很重要的。
So also in the Sutra of Contemplating the Buddha of Infinite Life and Light, it introduces the 16 ways of contemplation, and it is very important to emphasize this aspect of practice of Pure Land as well, because otherwise some people might have this misunderstanding or even some wrong views about how to practice Pure Land school. They will say, as long as you can single-mindedly recite Amitabha Buddha's name 10 times when you about to die, then you will be able to rescued or by the Amitabha Buddha and other bodhisattvas and be reborn in the Pure Land. Is that possible? No, that's actually a misunderstanding, and it is a wrong view. Because we all know there are, even one can be reborn in the Pure Land, there will be 9 categories of 3 different grades in the Pure Land. So if you were reborn in the Pure Land as the lowest grade of the lowest category, you probably will be in the lotus pond for a while, and before you can even see the Amitabha Buddha. And there is no guarantee that your lotus seed will blossom into a lotus flower. And some people think that even they commit 5 heinous crimes, they can still be rescued and be reborn in the Pure Land, because although in many sutras, they say that Buddha won't deliver those people, but in Nirvana Sutra, it says Buddha will still deliver those people who have committed 5 heinous crimes. So this will lead some people to believe that as even though they have committed some crimes or even just some little wrongdoings, as long as they remember to recite Amitabha Buddha's names 10 times single-mindedly before they die, they can still be reborn in the Pure Land. And because of this wrong view, they find excuses not to be diligent in their practice, because they think, oh, well, if that's the case, I can. There's no need to be that diligent in my practice. So, but actually that's wrong, because just like a Chinese saying, don't commit a small wrongdoings just because it's so small, and don't forget to do good deeds because it is such a small benefit. Actually, the practice should be continuous and should be persistent all the time. That's what the diligence means. And it's very important for us to have the right attitude and the right view.
好，再来，前面这个三经是我们一般就是在分所谓净土中的经典，所以这是以这三部经典为依准，还有一论叫做往生论或净土论，也就是我们今天要讲世亲菩萨的净土论。刚刚我们在前面有提到，在《观无量寿经》还有分16观，这16观呢，或许有人不知道该怎么观哈。那在世亲菩萨的净土论里头，他就是教我们怎么去观察。这边是用观察，很特别，他不是用观想。师父解释说，一般观想我们会用想象的，或是用头脑去想象的，可是观察这个察呢，我们有在中国成语叫明察秋毫，就是把我们的心，把我们的心，它很重要。在这个净土论里面呢，它分五念门，就五种修行的方法。前面一个叫做作愿，那作愿后面就是观察，就是当我们的心止于一念之后，所谓止于念呢，是专心在一个念头上面， 就像我们用方法就专心在一个方法上面的时候，当心静下来才能够进行后面的观察。那这个观察呢，它总共有分三个项目，29个细项。那一般我们讲的就是去三察29言，就是三种观察29个项目，三察29言的部分。我们等下会概略性的跟大家介绍，这是往生论的部分，这是传统分法，传统分法。那到了近代，所谓近代就是清朝末年，清朝末年和民国初年的时候，又加入了另外两部经典的其中一品或是一章。首先加进来的是《华严经》的《普贤行愿章》，《普贤行愿章》，那是在清朝末年有一位居士叫魏默生居士，他把《华严经》的最后一卷的最后一品《普贤行愿品》加进来。为什么他加进来呢？因为他读到《华严经》上面讲着最后十大愿是要导归到极乐世界，所以他认为这部分是修净土法门很重要的、很重要的部分，所以他把这个部分纳进来。他认为修净土法门的人，平常的日常生活当中，就除了念佛之外，日常生活当中就是以普贤菩萨的这十大愿作为我们平常的修行的一个方法。这是另外一部经典。再来，另外一部经典是《楞严经》的大势至菩萨念佛圆通章。《楞严经》它总共提到了25位菩萨他的修行方法。在其中有一章是大势至菩萨的念佛圆通章。他告诉我们修行方法是要度摄六根，净念相继。他认为这是我们修行的方法，因此他把大势至菩萨念佛圆通章，这是谁呢？这是民国初年净土宗一位很重要的祖师印光大师，他把他纳进来的，所以印光大师他本身对于楞严经在修行上面应该有他得力的部分，配合着他念佛法门上面应该有很得力的部分，所以他才把大势至菩萨的念佛圆通章纳进来。至于楞严经在讲什么，或许我们大家诸位菩萨在这边，如果之前有上过我们住持法师国训法师的课，应该对于楞严经不会很陌生哦。
So that's a traditionally categorization, which is, has three main sutras and one treaty or one commentary. That one commentary, one treaty is the one we talked about here, is Vasubandhu Bodhisattva's treatise on rebirthing the Pure Land, or also called Discourse on the Pure Land. So just like the Sutra of Contemplating the Buddha of Infinite Life and Light, it has 16 ways of contemplation. And in the treaty by Vasubandhu Bodhisattva, it goes into details and to teach you how to carry out the contemplation part. And here, as Shifu mentioned, this type of contemplation is different from conventional way of contemplation or visualization or imagining, because you don't use your brain to imagine things or to create things out of nothing. Instead, this contemplation can only be conducted after you have reached the stage of one-pointed concentration, and then you can proceed to practice this type of contemplation. And it includes three ways, and we'll with contemplating 29 objects. We will introduce generally later on. So this is the classical or traditional way of describing Pure Land schools, which has three main sutras and one treaty. And then it first developed when at the end of the Ming Dynasty, in the beginning of the Qing Dynasty, there's a lay person called Mo Weishen. He added one more sutra. Actually, is the last volume of the Avatamsaka Sutra to the Pure Land School. That's the last volume, which is last chapter, the practice and vows of Samantabhadra Bodhisattva. Because in the Avatamsaka Sutra, he read a line which says the 10 great vows all lead to the land of bliss, referring to the Western Pure Land. So he believed that the practice and vows of Samantabhadra Bodhisattva serves as a guideline for practitioners when they practice Pure Land School. So that's one more sutra added during Ming and Qing Dynasty. And the last part of the Pure Land School is added by Master Yin Guang. When he was studying the Sharagama Sutra, which describes the 25 bodhisattvas' ways of practice, and one of them is called the Mahastamprata preachment on being mindful of the Buddha. And because in that chapter, it talks about, tells us how we should concentrate and pull back or purify the six sense organs and rest our thoughts continuously and moment by moment to purify our thoughts. So Master Yin Guang believed this has connections with chanting Amitabha Buddha's name and the traditional way of practice of Pure Land schools. So he added that chapter from the Sharagama Sutra to the canon of the Pure Land school as well. So in total, it becomes five sutras and one treaty.
我们现在来跟大家介绍往生论。往生世亲菩萨往生论，前面冠上是造论者的名字，他叫世亲菩萨。世亲菩萨呢，又有人翻译成叫天亲菩萨，他是印度古印度大概是在西元第四第五世纪，也就佛陀入灭后900年。瑜伽行派，所以瑜伽行派就是我们一般所谓讲说一切有部，就是有宗的部分，有宗的部分，也就是我们现在唯识这个学派，唯识的学派，它跟印度另外所衍生出来的中观中论这个学派，以龙树菩萨为主的这个学派，是整个在空和有两个思想上面。佛法这两项上面非常重要的非常重要的部分，在印度它衍生出这两大行派出来。他们家呢是生于婆罗门种姓之家，父亲是当时的国士，那他们一家总共三个兄弟，在之后都很有名。哥哥最大的大哥是无著菩萨，第二个排行第二的就是我们今天要讲的世亲菩萨，弟弟最小的是狮子觉，三位在当时印度乃至于我们现在佛教整个思想的上面非常重要，他们三兄弟对于在当时弘扬佛法上面花了非常多心思。一开始世亲菩萨呢，他是在入道小圣，就是他出家是跟随着一位小圣的 老师学习，然后在学习的过程当中呢，他写了非常多的书，骂大圣，骂大圣，就有点类似我们在近代师父研究博士论文研究的是谁？藕益大师哈。藕益大师他小时候是学儒学哈，就是我们一般所讲的四书五经。学到这个时候呢，他也造了很多的论，写很多文章来破佛啊、批佛啊。好，那当时世勋菩萨呢，他也是一样哈，他也造了很多论。后来他的哥哥和他哥哥，因为他们那时候是跟不同的老师学习啊，五祖菩萨一开始就跟着大圣的老师学习，所以他后来知道他弟弟做了这些事情之后，就在有一天回去，就他们一起回到家里面去，因为他们在外面学跟着老师学习，因为有一天他们兄弟俩回到家里面，那他哥哥为了要五祖菩萨，为了要劝世勋菩萨啊，他就花了一番功夫跟他解释这个大圣经典是什么。那这时候世勋菩萨还知道，原来他过去所学的有一些是不正确的知见，那他就很后悔，很后悔呢，他认为唯一忏悔的方法是什么呢？就是把他舌头割掉，把舌头割掉。他哥听到之后呢，跟他讲说，你就算这么做，你有一千条舌头割下的，还是不足以忏悔你过去就是毁谤大圣的这种罪行。那唯一真正忏悔方式是什么呢？弘扬大圣佛法。所以他哥哥花一番功夫劝他弟弟，唯一的方式就是弘扬大圣佛法，弘扬大圣佛法。最后他弟弟听他哥哥的劝说，那在之后他认真的修学大乘佛法，那也造了非常有名的论出来。一般我们现在唯识三十众就他造的，还有摄大乘论、大乘阿毗达摩。阿毗达摩俱舍论的部分呢，他是修学白法明门论的前方便，所以前方便是了解这些名相解释之后，要来修学白法明门论和唯识的整个思想体系，是很重要的、很重要的一个次第下来，以及显扬圣教论这几部论书是世勋菩萨他后来在弘扬大乘佛法之后所造的几部非常有名的论书。
So now we will finally going to discussing the discourse on the Pure Land or rebirth in the Pure Land by Vasubandhu Bodhisattva. First, we'll talk about the author, the Bodhisattva Vasubandhu. Vasubandhu is the Sanskrit name of this Bodhisattva. He is also known as Shiqing Bodhisattva or Tianqing Bodhisattva in Chinese. And he is the founder of the Yogacara school in India. He was born around the 4th or 5th century, roughly 900 years after Shakyamuni Buddha went into Nirvana. He was the second of the three sons born in an Indian Brahmin family. And all three sons, his older brother, Asanga Bodhisattva, and his younger brother and himself all became monastics. And Vasubandhu Bodhisattva was originally studying in Hinayana tradition, particularly the Satatika school. So while he was studying in the Hinayana tradition, he wrote a lot of teachings or treatises to criticize Mahayana teachings. Just like Shifu mentioned the Master Ouyi story in his books, that Master Ouyi was before he became a great master in Buddhism, he was influenced by Confucianism, actually was criticizing Buddhism. So before Bandhu Bodhisattva's conversion, he wrote many works to criticize Mahayana Buddhism, and his brother, his older brother, Asanga Bodhisattva, knew about it, and then he tried to talk to him about Mahayana Buddhism, and eventually made him realize the mistakes he had made. And Vasubandhu Bodhisattva felt great shame and want to repent. He said to his older brother, "I want to cut out my tongue in order to atone for my crime of defaming Mahayana teachings." And his older brother, Asanga Bodhisattva, said, "Even if you cut out your tongue 1,000 times, you cannot wipe out your crime of criticizing Mahayana Buddhism. Why don't you use your talent and skillful means instead to promote or spread Mahayana teachings?" So encouraged by his older brother, he started to write many works on the Yogacara school for Mahayana, and including the famous 30 verses or 30 stanzas on consciousness only school, and also wrote commentaries on Abhidhamma Sutra. So that's the introduction of the author Vasubandhu Bodhisattva.
好，我们现在开始讲齁。净土论呢，它进到中国的时间是在北魏时代，有一位印度来的三藏法师叫菩提留支所翻译出来的。整部论书呢，它前面是由寄诵所组成，寄诵就是像我们一般念的唐诗这种五个字或七个字所组成，那这一部是七个字七个，五个字五个字一句，好，那每它总共是有24句所组成。第一句的部分，它把一开始在净土论一开始所讲五念门分成了礼拜、称赞、作愿、观察、回向。前面第一句，他把前三个项目五念门的前三项一次讲完，很简短的讲完。之后从中间第二句一直到第23句，全部是讲观察。最后一句是讲回向，所以它的重点是在讲回向的部分。这是世亲菩萨他读《观无量寿经》之后，《观无量寿经》之后，算是他的一个心得。所以最早这部论书的部分，那他也被称作《无量寿经优婆提舍愿生记》。好，无量寿经优婆提舍是指论的意思，那愿生记，所以就是它是无量寿经的论。好，论就是解释经的意思，所以是讲的是观无量寿经，观无量寿经优婆提舍愿生记，就是我们一般所谓讲的愿，它其实分两个部分，一个就是作愿，一个就是观察。因为我们一心想要往生西方极乐世界，可是西方极乐世界是怎么样子的一个世界呢？它就是要借由我们平常练习怎么样子去做观察，就是去在广亮寿经有讲到介绍到西方极乐世界，他把它分成16个项目来介绍。那我们平常就是借由除了一心称念佛号之外， 发愿往生很重要的两个项目，一个是作愿，一个就是观察，这样子我们才不会去错地方。好，平常我们熟悉的阿弥陀佛极乐世界是怎么样子的一个地方，那这个的地方呢，它其实很重要，就是我们要怎么落实到我们自己本身来完成在我们日常生活当中。所以在观察里面呢，它有分成三个项目要观察，29个细项。三个大项目是什么呢？第一个是观察阿弥陀佛的极乐国土是怎么样子的一个极乐国土，这是第一个。第二个是观察阿弥陀佛本身还有那个世界的诸大菩萨。哦，第二个是观察阿弥陀佛，第三个是观察阿弥陀佛的极乐世界有的菩萨。所以总共是要观察这三个。那这三个呢，其实在于我们日常生活当中来看的话，首先观察阿弥陀佛的极乐世界的国土庄严啊，一个很重要，它就对应到我们日常生活当中我们所处的，我们现在这个我们所处的这个地球人世间的这个世界应该怎么样子去建立起来。第二个是就是从环境国土去观察，这是第一个。第二个就是阿弥陀佛的极乐世界的教主是阿弥陀佛嘛，还有在那整个极乐世界的诸大菩萨和诸善善人，那这个呢它对应到我们的世界来的话是什么，就是我们身旁所处的人所处的人，就是我们跟我们最亲近的日常相处的，可能是我们的同修、我们的太太、我们的先生，还有我们的小孩，再来跟我们的亲人、跟我们的亲人，还有跟我们的邻居，如果我们上班，还有我们的同事、我们工作的老板或是员工，这些它所相对应的过来，就是我们日常生活当中所处的这些人。所以它并不是只是我们刚提到只是为了未来往生到西方极乐世界才需要去做的，其实我们日常生活当中在观察的时候很重要的就是让我们的心能够单纯，我们平常的心能够单纯，还有就是落实到我们观察，就落实到我们日常生活当中，就作愿和观察两个。那要怎么样子能够让我们的心保持一心呢？在五念门的前面两个提到，第一个是礼拜，第二个是赞叹。第二赞叹，礼拜的意思呢是我们礼拜阿弥陀佛，那为什么要礼拜阿弥陀佛，是为了要能够往生西方极乐世界的原因。那这个礼拜的我们对阿弥陀佛他发了这样的一个宏愿，一个大誓愿，也建立起他花这么大的一个心愿，建立起这样子的一个佛国净土，那让我们去那边能够修行。所以我们对他的表达方式，对他的尊敬恭敬的一种表达方式，就是透过礼拜。那在礼拜过程当中呢，一个很重要的，它是一个很重要的修行方法。为什么它是一个很重要的修行方法呢？它是把我们的身调柔，所以身调柔，我们的心才能够跟着安定下来。在僧伽大学，对我们进僧大念书，现在法鼓山就是出家众的培养出家众，那一定要念僧伽大学。那我们刚进去的时候呢，我们第一年一定要拜十万拜，两百十万拜。那我们就类似拜在这种木板上面，我们的佛堂，我们每天早晚就是要这样拜佛哈。那在拜佛的过程当中呢，如果我们直接拜在地板上面的话，啊，因为我们第一年要拜完十万拜，所以等于每天大概要拜300拜才拜得完。才拍得完。那因为圣大第一年进去有很多事情要做， 除了拜佛还背五堂功课啊，还有基本上课之外，还有一些初波作物的部分，初波作物的部分。所以等于就是只能利用早课，早坐或是晚坐，大概半小时的时间。还有就是其他零碎的时间要抽出来。那因此要拜在木板上面，那因为是早晚坐时间，那又不出声，啊，如果要拜得快的话，很重要是一定要把身体放松，一定要放松，啊，才能够拜得快又轻，否则拜下去很大力的话，第一个膝盖会痛，头也会痛。还有就是会发出声音，影响到其他在打坐的师兄弟。所以在拜佛过程中呢，它是显现出我们白天的整个身心状况。为什么呢？如果我们白天是匆匆忙忙急急躁躁的话，到了晚上要拜佛的时候，心也不会安定下来，这时候动作就粗，走路起来可能就很大声。那当然可以想见的，拜佛的时候拜下去一定是很用力的，那很用力的过程当中身体一定是紧绷的，所以一定会痛。那有些人就会想出一个很好的方法，什么呢？在地上铺很多毛巾。好，那所以当然我刚才进去的时候，我们又有一些法师会建议我们这样子，可是我发现这个礼拜一个很重要的原因和一个功用，第一个就是要把我们的身心调柔。那身心调我刚刚提到，就是我们白天它是显现出我们白天整个身体的，就是我们整个身心状况。比如说如果我们白天跟人互动是在一种比较吵杂的，因为大家刚进来啊，进到圣大来念书，可能同学之间啊，有时候为了要呈现出他所谓呈现出，就是可能有时候会交代一件事情，学院或是学校生团有一些事情要我们去共同完成，这时候大家都有自己的想法，那我们如果都坚持己见，认为自己的都是最好方法去完成的时候，想必一定会有很多的摩擦出现嘛。因此这种就是去看我们白天我们师兄弟之间的互动是不是为了互相成就圆满一个事情，还是我们的心非常的刚硬刚强，就是想用我们的做法去完成一件事情，还是真的是为了利益大众。所以在礼拜的过程当中，它有一个就是第一个是对于佛陀的尊敬尊重的一种表达方式，第二个是检视我们身心状况，身心状况，这是在我们刚刚提到要完成作愿和观察，就是一般我们所讲发愿心愿行的部分，愿的部分在作愿观察，是净土论它很重要的一个部分，大部分都在讲这个部分。可在前面它有两个，一个是礼拜，一个是赞叹。那礼拜所表现出来就是我们的身业，我们的身业，那作愿和观察就是我们的意业，我们的意业。那三业要清净，一定是先从身与恶业的两个方式，所以第一个是先从身业，也就是去检视我们日常生活当中我们的身心状况是处在一个什么样的状况，可以透过在礼拜的时候去察觉出来。当我们在礼拜过程当中如果察觉到了，我们今天拜佛状况不是很好，代表着我们白天的，我们就去反省去检讨，因为我们白天是怎么样子的一个跟人的一个互动，跟人的一个互动，作为我们隔一天修正的一个依据，修正的依据。所以我们修行就是无时无刻的回到方法上面去检视自己，去检视自己。所以把礼拜在五念门当中，把礼拜当作第一个是在调我们的身，调我们的身。
So now we will talk about the going to the discourse on the Pure Land. So the Pure Land school was introduced by an Indian Tripitaka master during Northern Wei Dynasty. And this, this Vasubandha Bodhisattva's work actually is a commentary on the Sutra of contemplating the Buddha of infinite life and light. So-called commentary means his understanding and his views and his knowledge about his interpretation of this sutra, basically, so-called commentary. So it has the commentary contains 24 lines and 24 stanzas, and each stanza, each verse has 5 characters. The content of sutra, the content of the commentary basically emphasizes that in addition to reciting Buddha's name single-mindedly, you also need to give emphasis on aspiration, vows, and contemplation. So, for example, for there are many stanzas go into details that explain how to conduct a contemplation. Basically, there's 3 categories of contemplation. First, contemplate the magnificence or virtues of the Pure Land itself. This corresponds to the environment we live in. And the second is to contemplate the master, the host in the Pure Land, the Western Pure Land, which is Amitabha Buddha, and his virtue and his magnificent appearance. And this corresponds to people around us in this world, like family, friends, colleagues, neighbors, and how we relate to them. And the last one is to contemplate the Bodhisattvas reside in the Pure Land. So from this you can see, in this commentary, it not only emphasize on just reciting Buddha's name single-mindedly when you're about to die, actually, it also emphasizes the other two, which is give rise to vows, aspirations, and also carry out the contemplation part. So that means in daily life, we need to practice like that as well. We need to make our mind as simple as possible, and at the same time, practice vows and practice contemplation. So how can we practice and enrich the concentration or one single-mindedness? In the 5 gates of mindfulness introduced in the Vasubandha Bodhisattva's commentary, he mentioned 5 gates to do that. And the first 2 is the gate of prostration, and the second one is the gate of praise. So through the gate of prostration, we can actually adjust the conditions of one's body. Just like when we just became monastic, we need to we attended the Sangha University in Taiwan, and the first year we were told to prostrate 100,000 times at least. So that means we have to prostrate 300 times daily. And you know, the first year of the Sangha University actually was quite busy. Other than prostration assignment, we have other assignments. We need to memorize sutras, and we need to do recitation, and we also need to engage in work practice. So that means we don't really have much time to do prostrations. So we have to make use of our rest time to do prostrations. And in order to not to disturb others when others were meditating while we were prostrating, we have to learn how to relax our bodies and to do a very gentle and quiet prostrations. So actually, it's a great way to examine the conditions of your mind and the body, because when you do prostrations, if you're tensed up, your body tensed up, and you will feel ache. And when you do the prostration, it won't be gentle and won't be quiet. So you know that, you know, your body has been tensed up throughout the day, probably because when we were novice monks, we were all unsettled and have conflict with others due to our opinionated mind or habitual tendencies. So in this way, you become alert of your bodily conditions, and you learn to relax the body into prostration. Because only by doing that, you can accomplish the 300 prostrations daily. And so the gate of practice, the gate of prostration, on one hand is to show respect to Amitabha Buddha. On the other hand, it is also a great way to examine the conditions of your body and the mind. And so that's the meaning of the meaning of the practice of the gate of prostration.
好，五念门的第二是赞叹。那在论里面告诉我们，云何赞叹？赞叹就是口业的赞叹。好，第一个是身业的部分，身业礼拜；第二是口业的赞叹。口业赞叹什么呢？第二称如来名。如来名呢，他先解释，他是如来的光明智相，就如来显现出他的光明智慧德相。为了光明智慧德相啊，他还一点告诉我们，就是要如实修行相应故。这个如实修行相应故呢，就是当我们一心的称念，就是在作愿，他提到要一心的，要一心吼。那我们提到所谓在经典当中，就是我们刚刚提到净土三经都有提到，要一心不乱称念彼佛名号。一心不乱称念彼佛名号，很重要的就是平常我们就是要如实的修行，如实的修行，在要往生前的时候，才能够提起正念，那这时候才有可能在要往生的当下，我们才有可能是专心十念佛号，专心十念佛号才有可能哈。好，这个是在经典当中啊，论点当中和经典当中告诉我们的。师父说提醒着我们，我们在赞叹的时候呢，第一个是我们要表达出我们对佛陀的一种感恩的方式，这第一个。第二是除了对佛陀赞叹之外，我们怎么落实在我们的日常生活当中呢？这种赞叹就是对其他人，我们去看到其他人的优点啊，以柔软语、慈悲语，也就是菩萨四摄法的爱语表现出来，爱语表现出来啊，这种是可以去摄受四种菩萨摄受众生的方法，就是透过赞叹，也就是爱语的表现出来，的表现出来。在《维摩经》里头告诉我们：“先以欲钩牵，后令入佛智。”就对于众生呢，先以欲钩牵，就是先以对方喜欢的方式引他上来，之后再令他进入佛陀的智慧慈悲大海当中，智慧法海当中。所以最容易我们平常与人互动，除了身业的这种身体的行为，可能我们肢体动作啊、脸部表情的表现以外，最快向外发出去跟人互动，就是语业的部分。语业的部分啊，如果我们平常是跟人互动是大小声，即使我们修学佛法，我们跟别人讲，我们要分享的时候，别人他不愿意听，他会觉得一个修行佛法人最后表现出来的这种可能在说话表达方式的时候，还是这种烦恼相的表现出来，你透过语言的行为表现出来。这时候我们要跟人分享佛法的时候， 是不容易的。如果我们平常修行的方式就是用赞叹的啊，赞叹方式第一个就是我们平常把我们的心系念在佛号上面，把我们心现佛号上面，所以当境界现前的时候，我们第一念出来，哎，是跟烦恼相应呢，还是跟这个阿弥陀？我们如果是念阿弥陀佛的话，它所表现出来是无量寿、无量光，好、哦，这种无量光明，那这种光明是为了与人分享。那我们是不是平常的语业，是不是有如此相应着？很重要，很重要。
So the first, the gate of prostration, refers to our practice through bodily conduct. And then the second, gate, the gate of praise, refers to practice through our speech. Here, on one aspect, in one aspect, it refers to we chant, Buddha's name, single-mindedly, and theAmitabha Buddha's name represents the brightness, the wisdom, and infinite light. That's when we chant Buddha's name, we rest our mind thoughts on that. And also, the gate of praise also is also a way to show our gratitude and be grateful of others. And when we interact with others in daily life,we should first see the benefits others has brought to us or the virtues of others. And then practice speaking gently with kind words, because when you share Dhamma with people around you, it's not an easy thing. First, people will observe how you carry out yourselves in conduct and in speech. And only when you be able to show others with gentleness and kindness, and then others will naturally join towards you. In our daily practice, we should always concentrate our mind on chanting Amitabha Buddha's names. And when situations, conditions arise, we will see if we can really correspond to the infinite light and the wisdom of Amitabha Buddha and interact with others accordingly.
好，接着论文就是跟我们提到怎么样子作愿和观察，作愿和观察。那我们刚刚有先跟大家介绍到，最后一门。五念门的最后一个是回向，在回向的部分呢，他提到什么叫回向呢？回向是不舍一切苦恼众生，不舍一切苦恼众生，心常作愿，心经常的作愿就发愿，心要经常发愿，这是回向很重要的一个部分，回向为首。这是回向一个很重要的部分。那它是为了成就什么？为了成就大悲心，为了成就大悲心。所以平常我们所做的，在前面我们提到的身与恶业的清净，才能够让我们的心是清净的，就意业的清净。身与恶业清净，才能够让意业清净。意业清净，我们在发愿的时候，除了发愿自己发愿往生西方极乐世界以外，我们要发愿度一切众生，就是不舍一切苦恼众生。好，那这怎么做呢？就是透过平常的观察，那观察国土的庄严、佛陀的庄严、菩萨的庄严，它是相对应，为了落实到建立我们人间的净土。那人间的净土呢？从提升人的品质开始，也就是我们刚提到观察佛陀的菩萨庄严和诸上善人，就是我们在佛陀这个极乐世界的净土当中，跟我们在那边修学佛法的这些众生或是大菩萨大罗汉们，它落实相对应到的是我们跟我们平常 从我们的亲人啊，或是我们旁边的邻居，不管是有没有关联的，一切众生，统统在里头，与他们应该要怎么正确的互动，借由观察极乐世界的庄严，落实到我们这个世界人间净土的庄严。啊，这就是在提升人的品质，除了自己以外，也就是回向自己的功德给别人，这是一个回向我们小小的功德。当我们一个一个每一个人小小的功德累积起来之后，它就会变成一个大的功德，好，大的功德。所以这是回向的意义，它为了要最后成就大悲心。
And the third gate is the gate of aspiration of ours, and the fourth gate is the gate of contemplation, which both we have mentioned earlier. And the last gate, the fifth gate, is the gate of merit transfer. So here, the last gate, the merit of transfer, basically means as a practitioner, in addition to make vows to be reborn in the Pure Land, we also need to generate vows to deliver all sentient beings. We will not leave suffering sentient beings behind. And this is the practice to achieve greater compassion. It's just like we often say we will build Pure Land on Earth by uplifting human characters. So when we interact with our family, neighbors, or colleagues, we will remember this and try to dedicate our merits to them. Because even though we only have small merits, but if we accumulated all small merits, it will become something that we can transfer towards all sentient beings. And that's the meaning of transferring merits to others.
好，这大概是往生论它的要讲的内容。它是把它的组成是前面有24偈的偈颂，接着论文前面三分之二的篇幅，就是在针对前面偈颂的部分去做解释。解释完之后呢，又花三分之一的篇幅再做一次整理。啊，在做整理的时候呢，把前面这五念门再把它分成智慧、慈悲和方便。啊，另外他提到怎么样子是障碍的因缘，怎么样子是真正成就菩萨应该具备的满足的部分。好，那它是相对的做介绍。这是大概是往生论它整部论它的内容，还有最后在回向的时候它把它分成入门和出门，也都是在五念门当中它的整个做一个总结。如果大家有兴趣的话，或许回去可以去找出来看。现在网络很方便，只要打世亲菩萨往生论或是世亲菩萨净土论，就可以看到它是由偈颂体和后面的论文的部分做成的，所以它整个组成的部分是这样子。前面三分之二是解释五念门的部分，后面三分之一是在把五念门做一个汇整总结，怎么样子跟我们慈悲方便智慧慈悲方便这三个，也就是我们一般所讲的修行的修慈悲智慧和怎么样子方便随顺众生，做用这三个作为最后总结。如果大家有兴趣或许回去可以试着自己读看。希望今天这样子简单的介绍能够引起大家的兴趣，回去如果有兴趣或者是想要把 念佛作为自己的一个修行功课，能够建立起一个正确的修行方法。好，谢谢大家，阿弥陀佛。
So that's a general introduction of the Vansabuddha Bodhisattva's treatise on rebirth in the Pure Land, or the discourse on the Pure Land, a commentary on the Sutra of Contemplating Infinite Light Buddha. Basically, it has 24 stanzas of verses in the beginning, and then followed by more in detail discussion. And two-thirds of the content goes into explanation of the five gates of mindfulness we just talked about. And the last one-third is a summary of how the five gates of mindfulness correspondence to wisdom, compassion, and skillful means that we often talk about in Buddhism. So this is a very brief introduction to Vasubandha Bodhisattva's treatise, commentary on rebirth in the Pure Land. But if you're interested, you could go easily online and find the original text and try to learn and study yourself. And hopefully my talk today will generate some interest in you about how to practice Pure Land School and some interest about this important work. And thank you, everyone.
好，最后谢谢大家今天来这边听我们佛法，这是诸位的在过去我们讲，这是诸位的诸位智慧慈悲功德显现哦。那 也谢谢这几次上课慈明菩萨帮忙的翻译，那相信他未来小菩萨出生之后，这几次先来听闻佛法哦，也许为了因缘能够，如果能够出家是他的因缘哦。没有跟你们开玩笑的哦。好，阿弥陀佛。
Thanks again for coming.